Well, okay, I saw this little village of huts. I would have said probably Africa. I don't know. The huts were not very large. Probably fit two of them in the area in between our semicircles of tables here. They were up off the ground a little bit on short stilts. And the reason was protection from some sort of animals. I think it was snakes. I was I guess just a little village, probably, you know, 8 or 10 little huts like this. And the only real significant event that I saw was I guess it was an early morning. Caught them totally by surprise. This army came in. A whole bunch of warriors with spears that were just totally outnumbered, and it lasted almost no time at all. They were just wiped out. This army coming through.
What kind of army were they?
I don't remember. All I remember was a whole bunch of people. They moved very fast, and they had long spears with thin points. And you asked, what did we learn from it? And it was like, well, sometimes you're not going to win, but fight anyway. And that was it. I mean, you know, we didn't put up any kind of heroic, you know, resistance, but you know, we tried. Yeah.
I didn't have an experience, but there's a book that I read that Sylvia Brown. Are you familiar with that one? Well, about the past lives and people having physical ailments, like they reached a certain point in their life that was comparable to the age in another lifetime. They start exhibiting symptoms like choking and, you know, and neck pains and all kinds of different things, violent stomach aches, like, you know, and she put them into regression and find out that's how they died. And so it was pertinent then, because then she was able to help them to recognize that that happened in a past life and clear it, so that then the physical ailment went away. But I can't remember that, but it's Sylvia Brown's Past Life something or other. I just don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, that's,
but it's a great book.
Past life therapy can be quite helpful.
Yeah, I got a little something. I was not much. And I was at first I didn't think I was going to get anything, and I always seemed to have a little trouble getting back. But I was on a mountain top or a cliff or something, looking down on a house. I'm not sure if it was a house or a station. There was a whole bunch of railroad tracks, and I got the impression my name was Ron. And I, Ron, yeah. And I don't know what year or was, but I think it was like in the 30s, 20s or 30s, somewhere around there. I didn't get a specific date.
And
yeah, in America somewhere. It was kind of semi-remote, but there was a whole bunch of railroad tracks, like it was a switching yard, but I still got the impression that the building was a house of some kind. So maybe I lived there or something. Maybe it was, you know, maybe the family lived there and ran that particular switching area or something. I don't know. I'm just kind of speculating on that part. And I didn't get any. It's funny because before you had said, you know, to think about what you would learn from this that would connect to this life. I was, as you were taking us back a little bit, I was asking to, you know, access a life that would have some significance that would help me in this life. And the irony is I didn't get any impression of that. But I also had the impression, which is weird, I don't know what it means, maybe it means something, that I had short pants on. But I don't think I was a kid. I felt like I was an adult. And then when you brought us back for a few minutes, I felt like I had short pants on. I had to reach down. And so I'm not sure what the significance is. Maybe something will come to me as I contemplate it more, but I didn't really get anything. I'm thinking, well, what can I learn from that?
Do they call them short pants anymore?
Okay, I've seen this many times. Okay. You and I knew each other. A little bit emotional. Matter of fact, when you've done this, I have revisited this place a few times. Never said anything to you. But I'm gaining composure. I was a priest in the temple. I was a Pharisee. I was, I'm not sure, coerced or volunteered to speak against Yeshua. It was hard because of his lies. But when you are trying to protect something, right or wrong, you know, you do say things. That just aren't true. And we had a job to do. We had a purpose. And then I'm taking my daughter, watching this man go down this this road, and my daughter has my hand, and it's Yeshua. I wanted to see this. I really didn't like his family at that time. And there was this darkened person, dark-skinned person, closer to the road. And Yeshua. He dropped on one knee. And this this dark-skinned person picked up this cross, this what he was carrying, and excuse me. I'm really all right. It's just very traumatic. He looked at me. And when Yeshua looked at me, and I was not at the front, I was, but his eyes caught my eyes, and I said, I knew I was wrong. And I took my daughter's face, and I hid her face next to my clothing because I didn't want her to see this. And bad decisions for whatever reasons. Probably over many lifetimes have molded me to where, even though I was raised in the Jewish temple this time, I have pure disgust for some of the things that they do and believe in. It's not a bad religion. The rabbi in San Antonio, I'm sure we were together. I just can't stand the man. However, I have forgiven him. I have forgiven him. I'm not going to give you his name. But at that day and time, he was not a good person. And neither was I, for that matter. You know, it was all about saving what you had.